Everywhere our Lord went, He attracted a large crowd. People were intrigued by Him. They were amazed by Him. They were curious about Him, interested in Him. But mostly, He said, mostly they were, they wanted a miracle, or they wanted something from Him. They wanted their bellies filled or their whatever, to see some kind of miracle. Does that sound familiar? Things haven't changed. He said this in verse 26. He said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, you seek me not because you saw the miracles." That is, some did. He said that about some earlier. He said, "You seek me, you want to see a sign or a wonder or a miracle." But he said to these people, right after the 5,000 were fed, he said, "You seek me because you did eat of the loaves and were filled." In other words, you just want me to fill your belly. You want me to give you things. And right now, it's the same the world over. Sadly, buildings are full of persons who are attracted for one reason or another to religion, to Jesus. Mostly, though, to see some, they want to see some kind of sign or miracle or wonder and have their needs met. Verse 36, he said to some, in verse 36, "I say unto you, have seen me and believe not." Everyone had heard of and seen Jesus. Yet, he says to them, to the vast majority of them, "You see me. You seek me. You see me. You believe me." Now, what does he mean? What does he mean, "you believe not"? They believed in Jesus. They believed in Jesus. They believed He was a feeder of 5,000. He was the healer of the blind, the lame. They believed He was a teacher, the provider, the miracle worker. They believed all these things about Him. Right? He said, "You believe not." Well, look at verse 37. He said in verse 37, "All that the Father giveth me shall come to me." Well, hadn't they come? Here were thousands of people. They'd come to see Jesus. Hadn't they? They'd come to see Him. They believed He was a... Didn't they believe Him? What's He mean? They were seeking Him. They believed in Him. They came to see Him. They came to Him. He says, "You believe not, but all that the Father giveth me shall come to me." This is so, people, there's not a more relevant message than this right now. Because as I said, the world is full of buildings, full of people who are coming for one reason or another to see something, to get something. Our Lord said this. Now let me read it again. Verse 37. "All that the Father giveth me shall come to me." Now He said this over and over again. "All that the Father giveth me." He said this over and over again. Turn over to, back in verse 30, let's see. Go to John 17. Go over there. John 17, he says it several times in John chapter 17. John 17, our Lord and His prayer to the Father says this several times about them which the Father had given Him. Verse 2, he says, "As Thou hast given Him power over all flesh, that He should give eternal life to as many as Thou hast given him. Verse 6, I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were. Verse 9, I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me. They are thine. Verse 11, the last line, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me. Verse 12, he says, I was with them in the world. I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me, I have kept. None of them is lost. Verse 24, Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me. And so go back to chapter 6. So he says here, all that the Father giveth me. And then in verse 39 here, in our text, this is the will of the Father's will which has sent me, that of all which he hath given me. Now, what could be clearer? What could be clearer? Nothing could be plainer that God has chosen certain individuals. God has. He's chosen, elected a people. This is what Ephesians 1 says, that he elected or chose according as he has, and the pastor preached it last Sunday, according as he has chosen us in Christ when? Before the foundation of the world. Romans 9 verse 11 says, the children being not yet born, neither having done any good nor evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand. It was said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger. As it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. What shall we say to these things? Nothing could be plainer. God has chosen or elected a people. And Christ says, all that the Father giveth me. He calls them those whom God has given him. Those whom God has chosen, he gave to Christ. Now this all happened before the world began. Before anybody was born. I just quoted that. God chose, elected a particular people. And he gave them to Christ. Christ was the covenant head, the surety of the everlasting covenant, the Savior of his people, the Son of God, who was to come, be made flesh, and dwell among us, to fulfill God's law perfectly for those chosen people, then to be made sin for them, he who knew no sin, that they might be and impute or make them righteous. He was made sin and paid for every one of their sins, thereby justifying them perfectly by his life and by his death. And God gave all these people he chose to Christ to do that work, and he came and he did that. All that the Father giveth me, he said, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me. Look at verse 45. We read this. It is written in the prophets, and this is found in Isaiah 54, verse 13. Our Lord quotes, they shall be all taught of God. All that the Father giveth me shall be taught of God. Every one of them. No person whom God has chosen, no person whom Christ died for, whom the Holy Spirit calls, is ignorant of who God is. They shall all be taught of God. That is, they know who God is. Not that he's trying to be God. That's ridiculous. They know who God is. They're all taught of the Father. That's what the Lord said. They're all taught, like children. And that's what it says in Isaiah 54, 13. All thy children. That's what it says exactly. Our Lord can paraphrase because he wrote it. But it says, all thy children, all of God's children, like a father teaching all their children the same lessons. I'm God. He said that in Isaiah 43. He said, I've chosen you that you might know me, that I'm God. There is none else. I'm God. There's none beside me, declaring the things that were not before they were. All God, there's nobody ignorant of who God is. All that God has chosen, He teaches who He is. Holy, sovereign, just, yes, merciful, gracious, loving, but only in Christ. He teaches them what they are. God teaches all His people what they really are by nature. None of them are ignorant of the fact that they're undeserving, hell-deserving, worthless worms. Isn't that what He said, Brother John? He's the God of Jacob. What's He say to Jacob? What's He say to all the sons of Jacob? Fear not thou, what? Worm, Jacob. He said, I'm the God of Jacob. I'm the Lord, I change not. Therefore, you sons of Jacob. This is the only reason that you're not consumed. You don't deserve salvation. God teaches that to all children. And God, especially then, after those lessons are taught, God is holy and sovereign and just. And we're unworthy and deserve God's wrath and judgment. Then He teaches them, there's only one way. There's only one way I can have anything to do with a human being. I who am holy, righteous, who loveth righteousness. There's only one way I could love anybody or anything, and that's for them to be in Christ, to be considered holy in Christ. But Jesus Christ is the one I accept. My Son is my well-beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased, and I'm not pleased with anybody or anything but Him. But if you're in Him by faith, and God chose and had to do this. He had to choose these people and put them in Christ. And He's considered them in Christ before the world began. He's never really considered them as rebels, but He's always considered them in Christ. That's the reason He loved them before the world began. He's always thought of them as being in Christ. You know that? There's never a sense in which God's people were under the wrath of God. They feel it, as they should. The law makes them feel that. Their guilt and judgment. They feel as if they should be under the wrath of God. But no. God says, I've loved them with an everlasting love. Even while they were yet sinners. God doesn't love all sinners. But God does love His people He's chosen. And that's the only way He can love them. And they're not loving. But He considers them in Christ. Does that understand? They'll all be taught of God. And that's what He said, verse 45. And every man, every one of them that hath heard and learned of the Father, every one of the children comes to Me. They come unto Me. Everyone. What is it to come to Christ? Everyone that hath heard and learned of the Father cometh to Christ. There were a bunch of people around Him that came to Him. He said, you don't believe Me. You didn't come to Me. What is it to come to Christ? You can't hear a more important message, people. All come. They're given. Well, look at verse 44. Our Lord said this twice. Leave no mistake. Verse 44. No man can come to Me except the Father which has sent Me draw him. You see that? No man can come. He said in another place, you will not come unto Me that you might have life. No man will come. Men aren't willing by nature. And no man can except God wills them. Brother Kelly and I were sitting on my front porch talking about it. We just wrestled four horses and trimmed 16 feet together. They don't want that, do they? They don't want you to put a rope around their neck and a halter on them and tie them to a post and mess with their feet. They don't want anything to do with human beings. They just don't want anything to do. They will not come unto you. They will not. Come here. Yee-haw. And then run the other way. Except the Father which has sent me draw them. No man can come unless God lassoes them. And the Scripture says this, they're drawn with cords of a man. Christ, the Spirit, the great rounder-upper of His people. That's what sanctify means, sanctified by the Spirit. 2 Thessalonians 2:13 says that God had chosen us through sanctification of the Spirit. Like a cutting horse, man on a cutting horse. There's a whole herd of cattle. You ever seen this done? It's a good illustration. You ever seen a cutting horse? Back in the old West days, they'd have a herd of cows and they'd have to brand each one of them. All right? Well, a man would get on his cow pony and he'd set his eye on one of those calves. One that hadn't been branded or one he intended to brand. And, you know, there were mixed herds back then. They didn't have fences on 5,000 acre ranges, did they? And then cattle got mixed. There's one man's cattle and you had your cattle and you set your eye on your cow. The cow you'd bought, the cow you'd raised, the cow you'd chosen, right? You set your eye on that cow. You got on your cow pony and you there he is, right in the middle of that herd. He ain't no different than the rest of them. He ain't better than the rest of them. But he's your cow. Your cow. You get on your cow pony and you start cutting him out. Cutting him out of the herd. Until finally the rest of them run. They run this way and you've got this one cornered. You got him cornered. You lasso him. What do? Well, you don't sweet talk him. You throw him on the ground. You think these cowboys are cruel, don't you? Well, those cows would kill themselves. Those cattle would run off a cliff, die of hunger, die of thirst, wouldn't they? If the owner didn't do what he had to do to them. Throws them on the down. Ties their feet up. Brand on. Oh, how mean. No, sir. He belongs to somebody. Not going to let him run loose. That cowboy said, he's mine. He's not going to run loose. I'm going to keep my eye on him from here. He's going to serve me from here on. I'm letting him grow up into a fine cow. I'm going to trim his hooves. I'm going to trim his horns. I'm going to, and trim other things. I'm going to make him submit. If I don't do this trimming, he won't submit. This is exactly what God Almighty, the Holy Spirit, does. That's what sanctification means. A set apart. Cut them out of the herd. How? With the gospel. What's the gospel? I'm God. You're not your own. Got somebody that owns you. You're not running loose. You are running loose. But you're mine. You're not your own. You bought with a price. Come unto me. No. Yes. Right, Stephen? Come unto me. Throw him on the ground. Like that angel wrestled with Jacob. Story of Jacob. Jacob was a worthless person. Wasn't he, Stan? Until God Almighty, Christ Himself, wrestled with him. As a wrestling match, God laid hold on old Jacob, wrestled him to the ground, crippled him for life. So he'd know, he'd remember, he'd been wrestled with. Said, you're mine. Mine. That's what God the Holy Spirit does. Where am I? In John 6. He said, you will not come, but now all that the Father giveth me will come. We sang that song, the old happy day that fixed my choice. We didn't choose him. He chose us. He cut us out. Psalm 65 says, blessed is the man whom thou choosest and causes to approach unto thee. He won't come. Man, it's hard enough to get an 18, 19-year-old boy like me, I was, to sit still for 40 minutes and awake, let alone interested, and want to come back for more. But it's impossible. With man, it's impossible. It's impossible. But with God, He breaks the wildest ass's coat. Yeah, He does. But not with sweetness. Well, what is it to come to Christ? What is it to come to Christ? Pastor Scott Richardson said this years ago. Everybody was there and heard him, never forgot it. He said, come to Christ, but don't move a muscle. Do you know what that wise old man meant by that? What he meant was what it means to come to Christ. You don't come to the church house, to a denomination. You don't come to the front. There ain't no salvation down here. This is a piece of wood. There ain't no salvation in that. That's just water. And we don't have much of it. You don't come to an altar. You don't come to a preacher. He ain't nothing but a man. He puts his pants on just like you. Don't come to a soul winner. You don't come to a decision. Well, what is it to come to Christ? What is it to come to Christ? Three things, and I'll hurry. Three things. Number one is to believe who He is. You come to Christ just to believe who He is. Number two is to need what He did and who He is. Number three is to trust Him. To trust Him. Stay with me. All right? What is it to come to Christ? It's to believe Him. Look at verse 28. Verse 28. They said unto Him, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? How do we get to heaven? What do we do? People the world over, what do we do? And people are trying all kinds of things, aren't they? That's the reason there's so many religions. Everybody's trying something new. What do? Well, we got to go to Mecca. Got to get to Mecca and walk around a black box. What do? We got to get to Jerusalem and put our head on a stone wall and beat it until it's bloody and cry at the wailing wall. What do? We got to make our pilgrimage to the Ganges River in India and wash 7 or 8 times. What do? Well, we got to keep the Ten Commandments. We got to live best. We got to quit this. Got to quit that. Got to do. What do we do? Verse 29, our Lord. Oh, this is what He said. This is the work of God. This is not works. Some of the works, a work. It says the work. Doesn't it? This is the work of God. The only thing. Believe on Him who hath sent. Do you know that's the hardest thing in the world for a human being to do, though? It's impossible, as a matter of fact. It's impossible. Just believe on Him. Yeah, with man, it's impossible. Look at it here this way, how He said it. This is the work of God. Faith is not of yourselves. You can't believe on Christ. You won't believe the truth. You won't believe God is God. You can't believe God is God. You can't see God. No man hath seen or can see. You can't. You can't believe until God sends a preacher, until the Holy Spirit prepares. You can't do it. This is the work of God. This is God's work. Salvation's of the Lord. It's God's work to save us. Can't save ourselves. Oh, not by works of righteousness which we have done, Paul said, but according to His mercy He hath saved us. This is the work of God. Therefore, He gets all the glory in it, doesn't He? Huh? It's the work He performs, faith, not of yourself. It's a gift which He bestows, which He works according to the working of His mighty power, the Scripture says. You who believe, it's according to the working of His mighty power. It's the work of God. And this is the work He accepts. This is the only work He requires. This is the only thing, Barbara, you listen to it. This is the only thing God requires of us. Not the scale of Mount Sinai, not the washing the Ganges River, not the... Believe on Him whom He hath sent. Who's that? The Christ. The Christ. So, what is it to come to Christ? It's to believe. Christ is Christ. Now, this is not with the head. The Scripture said, listen to this, Romans 10 says, with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. God looks on the heart. What is it to believe? Well, I believe doctrines are great. Well, you ought to. They're true. But that's not saving faith. I know some who believe the doctrines of grace are lost as a goose in a snowstorm. I was. You must believe the truth. Yeah, the truths. It's impossible not to. But that's not saving faith. That's not what it means to... He doesn't say, all that the Father giveth me cometh through a knowledge of the doctrines of grace. Does it? Though they do. They understand the doctrines of grace. But John said, if any man abide not in the doctrine of Christ, all that the Father giveth me cometh to me. Those who come to a knowledge of the doctrines of grace generally, well, go to a Bible conference about twice a year. And that's it. Let's hope that gets out on tape. Now, this believing Christ is not with the head, but it's with the heart. With the heart man believeth. Now listen to me. Listen to me. And tell me if this is not so. You don't ever really believe something unless you believe it with all your heart. Do you? You don't ever really believe something. Unless it's with all your heart. And to believe with the heart is to believe that that man that walked this planet years ago is actually God. That's God. God walked this planet. I believe it. Is there any doubt in your mind? There's no doubt that He existed. Nobody will doubt that. No one will dare to doubt that there was one named Jesus that walked this earth. Nobody. Nobody. Time is measured around His life on this planet. Even absolute atheists must confess, yes, it's too much evidence, He was here. I believe that. Who is He? Well, all these people, we know He's Jesus. He's Mary's son. He's Joseph's son. He's a healer. Who do you say that I am? He said to Peter and the boys. Who do you say that I am? You're God. Donna said, my Lord and my God, you're the one that made me. God, as a man? Yes. I believe that with all my heart. You believe that with all your heart. Huh? Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Our Lord said that to Peter. Flesh and blood didn't reveal that to you, but my Father, they're all taught of God. That man was and is God. And therefore all He said is true. All He did is your only hope. It's to believe Him. Believe Christ is God. Believe Christ. He said, no man cometh unto the Father but by me. I believe that. Without me, you can do nothing. I believe that. I know that. I believe that in my heart. Who he is, what he said, what he did, to believe Christ is to not, you know, if you really believe Christ, he is the truth. If you really believe Christ, you don't really believe anything or anybody else. Do you hear me? There is a way that seems right unto man. There's a way that seems right unto man. Whether he's religious man or scientific man, everybody thinks this is the way. Christ said, I am the way. I believe him. Yes, I do, John Cheesley. There's not a doubt in my mind. He's the way. He's the way. Everything else is false. Didn't David say that, John? I esteem all my precepts concerning all things to be right. Man is wrong. God is true. Let every man be a liar. You believe that with all your heart? Yeah, but they said the other day that there's not a big bang, that there was it. Bull! Don't say no. Say bull. Christ said, I am the way. You believe that in the face of all your scientific teachers and philosophers and all the wise men of this world? Believe me with all their heart. Because I gave it to them to believe. It's given unto them to believe. That gives me hope because I do from the bottom of my heart believe who he is and everything he said and did. Do you? That's what it is to come to Christ. You don't come anywhere else. That's the reason you come to him. Are you with me? That's the reason you come to him. You realize there ain't nobody and nothing to do anything for me but him. What is it to come to Christ? It's to come to him. To believe him. It's sure not to believe in yourself. When you start believing Christ, you'll never believe it. That you completely distrust yourself from that. That's what it means to believe him. He said, without me, you can do nothing. And boy, that's so true. Peter said, Lord, save me or I perish. And he was leaving and told them he was leaving. And they were all torn to pieces and said, don't go. Oh, they were full of vim and vigor, weren't they, Stan, for while he was there, and then finally says, I'm leaving. Oh, don't go. We're hurting if you go. He said, don't worry, I'll send the comforter. I'll not leave you comfortless. I'm not going to leave you. I told you I'd be with you to the end of the world. That's what it means to come to Christ. Nancy Parks, to believe him. To come to Christ is to need him. And all this runs together, really. It's to need Christ. Those other people that came needed a handout. They need the job. They need the wife. They need the husband. They go to the singles ministry. Why? See Christ? No, to get a husband. They come to church. Why? Get entertained. I want to see the choir. I want to see, show me something. All that the Father giveth me comes to me. They need me. They don't need music. They can get that at the Grand Ole Opry. They don't need entertainment. They can get that on the internet. They come to me. They need me. Not their bellies full. They got a refrigerator full. Not a new job. That won't do any good. They come to me. Not a bigger house. They come to me. They need Christ, what he is, what he did. They need his righteousness. To come to Christ is to see, I need his righteousness. I'm a sinner through and through, and I'll never be anything but a sinner through and through, and I can't get any better.
I can't get any better. Paul was a 50-some-year-old man when he wrote Romans 7. He said, the things I want to do, I can't do. The things I can't don't want to do, that's what I do. What am I going to do? Who shall deliver me? Who? That's it, Paul. Who? Romans, did he begin Romans 8, didn't he, John, with this? There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ. I can't help but get excited about that. This is what it means to come to Christ. Need is righteousness. People were never going to get better. Oh, we're going to quit some of this stuff and, you know, seem to straighten up and all that. But our heart's going to, the heart. And the tempter and the adversary is going to assault you. The older you get, the more he's going to assault you. The closer you get to glory, the more he's going to assault you. And he's not going to let up. Because he doesn't know who are the Lord's, really. He thinks, maybe I can get him. Like I got Judas. Maybe I can get him. I got Demas. Maybe I can. They need his righteousness. To come to Christ, that's not a doctrine, is it, John? That's not just a doctrine. That's to need him to be your holiness with God. That's to need him as your intercessor. Do you have trouble praying? Anybody besides me feel like, oh, what's the use? Huh? You feel like, what's the use in trying? I can't seem to pray. Things come through my mind, all distractions and this and that and the other. I seem to only be able to say the same thing. What same things? Oh, Lord, have mercy on me. Forgive me. Oh, my. Thank you. That's good enough. But you need an intercessor. Romans 8 says, we know not what things we should ask for. We're like little babies. We need an intercessor. One to take groanings which cannot be uttered to the Father. And Christ said, I ever live to make intercession for you. He's an intercessor. He's a mediator. We need him as our captain. Oh, Nancy, this boat. This life is troubled seas, isn't it? Huh? Well, you don't know what tomorrow brings. You don't, do we? We don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. It might be the toughest time we've ever been through in our life. What do we need? A captain! We need to know somebody's at the wheel. Not the co-pilot, but at the wheel. And this thing's going exactly the direction he intends it to go. It won't be off course one inch. No matter the flak and the turbulence. He's been through it all. He knows where he's going and everyone has landed safely. That's in him. So need a captain. I don't need no co-pilot. I just let me ride the baggage department, would you? Need a captain. Captain of my salvation. Oh, I need a daysman. I need an umpire. I need a judge. Huh? Nobody knows the difference between me and old Joe Blow out there in the world. Old Jimmy Smith out there in the world. I look like, act like a who knows the difference? God's the judge. Christ is the judge. He judges between fat cattle and lean. He knows where the foundation of God stands sure. Sometimes I don't know. I'm not sure if I'm his or not. The foundation of God stands sure. Having this seal, the Lord knows them that are his. He knows them. They're out there in the world. Well, look at them. The accuser of the brethren. That's what Satan's called, the accuser of the brethren. He says it to you, of you and me. Look at there. Look at there. They don't look a bit of different. Look at them. But God says, don't lay anything to charge my elect. Who is he that condemneth? It's God that justifieth. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? You need an umpire. You need a daysman. That's the word there in the Old Testament. You need a judge. You need wisdom. You need righteousness. You need sanctification. Huh? You need wisdom. Now that you're up there in years, let's take Brother Henry. There you are again. You're not the oldest. Charles is. Somebody else. Who else? Who? William? There you are. Now that you've... Let's pick on William. Now that you're an old man, you've got it all figured out, don't you, Brother William? You don't need anybody or anything. You got all the wisdom. You know you've got everything all figured out. Wise. About the time you think you've got everything figured out, you realize, I don't know anything. Especially that woman sitting beside you. Huh? I didn't need to say that, did I, Glass? And he's been married to her for 100 years. Almost. But you sure don't have, when you come to the end and get to be an old man, and the other old men have told me this, I'm still young, I'm not old. But David said it. There's only one thing you need to know. That your Redeemer liveth. That's what Job said. When it's all said and done, all you need to know is, I know my Redeemer liveth. And he's going to stand on this earth. Again, he's coming for me. It's to need him as your wisdom, your righteousness, your sanctification, your redemption, your Lord, your Redeemer, your Savior, your Protector, your Provider, your hiding place. To come to Christ is to need him. We don't need a fancy building. We do need a tabernacle, though. We don't need whatever. We sure need Christ. To come to Christ is to trust him. And as I said, all this goes together. But to come to Christ is to trust him. Look at verse 29. This is the work of God that you believe. Does it say in him? No. What does it say? On him. Look at verse 40. This is the will of him that sent me, that everyone that seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life. This is important. This is important. What is it to come to Christ? It's to believe on him. Ephesians 1 says, after you heard the word of truth, and you trusted him. You trust him. To trust something or someone is to put all your confidence in them, in it. To really trust something. There's a bench. That's a good bench. I know it is. I took it apart one day and shortened the length of it. That thing is heavy. It's stout. That's a good bench. I know it is. It's made of really dense... imitation wood. it's well made, constructed well. That bench will hold up, will hold me up. Mm-hmm. I believe in that bench. I believe it's a bench. I believe it is able to hold me up. I believe it is well made. I believe it will hold me up if I sit on it. I believe in that bench. I believe. This bench will hold you up. I know it will. I'm sitting on it. Huh? Do you see the difference? Y'all let it sit. It will hold a man up. Stretch out your hand. I can't. can't. It's withered. Stretch out your hand. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. But I don't know. I'm not. You're not. I know you're not. You're nothing. Believe on Him. You believe Him? Believe on Him. Take Him at His word. David said to him, here's what I'm going to do, David said. I'm going to take the cup of salvation. I'm going to take it. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. I will give you rest. Lazarus, come forth. But he's dead. Come on. Eat my flesh, drink my blood. I don't understand. Eat my flesh, drink my blood. Come to me. I don't know what it is, really. I'm trying, except to say, well, look with me. Romans 10. Look at Romans 10. There's some connection between the heart and the mouth. You know that? There's some connection. Because with the heart, out of the abundance of the heart, what happens? What's the scripture say? Mouth speaketh. The mouth speaketh. Whosoever shall call. You know, we don't have to say a word from the heart, but I tell you, if it's in the heart, it'll come out your mouth. Verse 10, Romans 10 says, with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. Yes, with the heart. And with the mouth, confession is made. Come unto me. But in Him we live and move and have our being. He's all around us. We're in His hand. What does it mean to come to Him? I don't know. Except to say, here I am. That makes sense? Does that make sense? Here I am. I believe. Not believe in yourself. Not do something. Believe on Him. Believe on Him. On Him. Say, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. I believe Your word. I believe Your person. I'm not looking to myself. Don't look to yourself ever. Don't trust yourself. Trust Him. That's what it meant. Trust Him. Don't ever trust yourself. And this is not a one-time thing. To come to Christ is not a one-time thing. It's a lifelong thing. Peter said, to whom coming? In other words, tomorrow morning I come to Him. Afternoon, evening. He's not going anywhere. You're not going anywhere. You're going to go to work, but you're going to come to Christ. That makes sense? That makes sense. Never you've been around here for 100 years. Does that make sense? You're not going anywhere. You're not going coming here. You're not but you come to Christ, don't you? Oh, here I am. Like my dog Annie. I know I use her. Sorry, I'm sorry. I love that little dog. If she was here, she'd love her too. Well, she loves me. How do I know? She won't leave my side. And she's worthless. She's worthless. She was worthless when I found her at the dog pound. And I taught her a few things, but she's still worthless. And I go outside and it's like, don't leave me, don't leave me, don't leave me. She's everywhere around, don't leave me. You're not going to leave me, take me to the pound, are you? That's what it is to come to Christ. Well, look at what He said in our text. Are you with me? This is the best part. John 6, 37. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. And in no circumstances. Ever. ever. But what if they never? I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. All that cometh to him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. But look at him now. He's backward. Never. Peter, follow me. Follow me. Peter did. Just like a dog, didn't he? Where was Peter when the Lord found him? Oh, he was an old rough fisherman on a boat. People, we don't realize what a rounder Peter and those guys probably were. Rough. You wouldn't have wanted your daughters to date them. Rough. On a boat, half naked, cussing. Maybe if they had tattoos back then, they'd had them all over them, wouldn't they? Cursing God, no fish, but God. Came walking down the shore one day and called Peter and James and John and Andrew and Philip, not so-and-so over there. Not that, that harbor was full of boats, full of fishermen. And none of them be better than one another. But God, all that the Father had given Christ were in, were the sons of Zebedee and Philip, and he came calling, Peter, follow me. And he did, buddy. Oh, all that the Father giveth come to him. He came to him. Didn't know much about Christ. But he started learning. He started hearing. Started needing him. Started believing him. Started trusting him. All right, 3.5 years later, after walking with Christ, 3.5 years later, Peter, according to the Lord's purpose, the Lord said, you're gonna deny me, that you even know me. Oh, no, not me. I'll never do that. I would never do anything like that. I'll never, everybody else may do something like that, but not me. Ooh. Yes, you will. But by my grace, I'm going to prove it. And Peter resorted right back to where he was. He was sitting by a fire. He denied him once. He denied him twice. And a little girl said, yeah, you're one of his. And he started cussing up a blue streak. I'm just an old fisherman. I don't even know the man. Is that one of the Lord's elect? Well, of course, the Lord wouldn't let him stay like that. And for 3 days, he grieved horribly. His conscience smote him. He was convicted. He thought, I'm no better than I used to be. In fact, he thought, I'm not one of the Lord's own. I must be lost. And what did Christ say? When Christ rose from the grave, Christ said this, go tell my disciples. And the two sweetest words Peter ever heard in his life was this, and Peter. I will in no wise cast out. He sure doesn't look like, but he's mine. And the Lord brought Peter down to realize that he hadn't gotten as high as he thought he had. And so Peter wrote a letter that's just my favorite. Peter wrote a letter to us, church, and he says in chapter 1, and right out of his mouth he said, people, we are kept by the power of God unto salvation, ready to be revealed at the last time. We're kept, Peter said. This is my hope. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All the other ground is sinking sand. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on the Lord Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand. That's what it means to come. Have you come to Christ? Well, the Lord knows. The Lord knows. But come. Come. All right, let's sing a closing hymn.
What was it, 240?
240. 204. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. Come up, John, and lead us singing that. 240. We'll sing the first and second verses only. First two verses. Stand, please.
First and second.